We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to episode 113 of McChesney Unchained, coming to you from the lab down here at 60 Football Academy in Parker, 10470 South Progress Way. I am your host, Matt McChesney, as always. You are listening to DNVR and all things to go with DNVR.com. Make sure you check that out. Go down to the sports bar, support the Avs and the Nuggets as they chase the Stanley Cup and the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Today's episode is going to kick ass, 113. Episodes of McChesney Unchained here on DNBR. I'm excited to interview the defensive coordinator for the Colorado Buffaloes, my old coach, and a guy who I look at like my father, to be completely honest with you. Mr. Chris Wilson is going to join the show today, and he'll be talking about the Buffs and the upcoming schedule and so much more as we talk about the upcoming fall season. We're going to start off the day here on episode 113 talking about just a couple of the more broad stories in football. First and foremost, I got to get the Tim Tebow shit out of the way, okay? Because I'm trying so fucking hard to, like, be reasonable in how I say this, but this is the biggest joke in the history of the National Football League, the history of the National Football League. And I'm not saying I don't think he can do it. I know he can't do what he's trying to do right now. And the fact that he actually has a roster spot, even if it is the 90-man roster, is an absolute fucking joke. And it makes me wonder what Urban Meyer's real goal is here. I mean, it seems like if you're one of Urban's buddies, you're getting a job. Is Percy Harvin next? You're going to sign him too? Is he going to go is he going to go kick the tires on like the left tackle for his national title team, whoever the fuck that was? I think this entire situation with Tim Tebow is Tim Tebow being a total and unequivocal media whore. He just can't get out of the spotlight. He is so narcissistic that he just can't retire and move on with his life and go be the governor of Florida or some shit. And on top of that, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the joke of a franchise that they are, they actually go out and sign this man to the roster. He's never played tight end before. If I'm a defensive lineman on that team and I'm playing a seven technique as a defensive end, or I'm a Sam linebacker or a Mike linebacker or a safety or anybody, and I get the opportunity to go against the snowflake, I'm trying to cripple Tim Tebow on the practice field in OTAs. I don't give a fuck. It is on. And I know there might be some guys that are Tim Tebow fans and shit, and all you fanboys out there are going to go buy a Jacksonville Jaguars jersey, and that's cool. That's cool. But you're a fuckboy. You're just as bad. You're pushing this narrative that this is acceptable. This man hasn't played in 8 years. He's 34 years old. He ran a 4.75 when he was coming out of college playing quarterback. I only imagine what he's going to run at 34. I'm sure he can do it for a day. I mean, people joke around all the time in the gym and shit. All the old guys like, oh, I can go back and do it for a fucking day. But in actuality, you can't. You'll get broken. And I just, this is such a joke to me. And I can't get over it. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. The fact that I'm listening to Tim Tebow shit on ESPN, on Fox, on the radio, people are talking about fucking Tim Tebow and he's not commentating a game or teaching everybody how to have the worst haircut in the history of haircuts. I can't take anything Jacksonville does seriously. If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I want out right fucking now. Eli Manning it, John Elway it, get traded, leave, get out of Jacksonville as fast as humanly possible. The agents to be on the phone, absolutely raising holy hell. And to be completely honest with you, this is like shut down the franchise offensive, in my opinion. Just saying. Who are they going to get out of fucking retirement next? Jamarcus Russell? This is not cool. Not cool. So we're going to move on from that. I really hope this pisses off the people who like Tim Tebow. I hope your boy gets absolutely fucking crippled across the middle of the field in one of these games. And everyone's like, oh man, we didn't see that coming. And I'm like, I saw it. He hasn't played football in 3,000 days, 8 year fucking vacation. And this guy gets a job as a member of this union. I am so disappointed. I don't even know what to do with myself, but that's neither here nor there. Episode 113 rolls here. McChesney Unchained on DNVR. The Nuggets open up against Portland in a seven gamer. The Nuggets get the 3 seed. I am worried about Dame Lillard. I'm as worried about Dame Lillard as, you know, the Suns should be about LeBron James. And if Golden State wins tonight, which I think they will, the Jazz should be about Steph Curry. That playing game was fucking incredible. The Lakers came back. I mean, it ruined my DraftKings weekend. I had a nice little parlay going. I picked Golden State. They were up by 12 at one point. I didn't cash out like a dummy. I should have. Remember, DraftKings is our title sponsor, and then thank you to them for all they do. Make sure you go to DraftKings.com, download the app, get it on your phone, and bet on all the basketball games and all the hockey games and all the big-time fights. Use the promo code DNVR. And remember that, you know, DraftKings is your sports betting friend and colleague there. They're always going to help you. You always get your money. The promo code for the station is DNVR. And there's always a promo going with it, $1 into $100 when you place a bet. It's for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. But it screwed up my parlay, and I didn't even care. If you hit a 35-footer with, Draymond Green's finger in your eye, and with people closing out on you when the clock's expiring, I'll take it. That's greatness. And I love greatness in the NBA. I love watching it. I just want to see great games. And I think the West primarily is going to be stacked with them. The Wizards got the 8 seed last night, dismantling the Pacers. So we'll see what happens in the East. Everyone expects Brooklyn to come out of the East. Back to the Nuggets. Look, Joker's winning the MVP. He was just named a finalist. It's happening. That's big time. It's never happened in franchise history. That's historic. But if they go out in the first round, and I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it could easily. I mean, Portland took the Lakers to 7 last year in the bubble. Dame Lillard is Mr. Fantastic in the fucking playoffs, and he scares the absolute shit out of me as a Nugget fan. And, you know, there's Nurkic has a lot to prove coming home, and it's just the perfect matchup to get upset, in my opinion. But I do think Denver has the advantage of the MVP. It's just, I don't know how in the hell Fakazu or Fakazu or the Italian point guard that his name sounds like fuck that guy. I don't know how in the hell he's going to cover Dame Lillard. So that's going to be one monumental matchup, and I can't wait to see it. They start their playoff series this weekend. It is my honor and pleasure to now bring on the defensive coordinator for the Colorado Buffaloes. Mr. Chris Wilson is going to join us here on episode 113 of McChesney Unchained on DNVR. Just to give you a little backstory, Coach Wilson was my defensive line coach at CU for 5 years. Everything I've learned as a coach and as a man and as a player is with his guidance. And I'm really excited to see what that team looks like with him as the head of the defense and getting them boys ready to go with all that NFL talent that they have up there in Boulder on the roster. Episode 113 rolls here. I'm McChesney Unchained on DNVR.com. Check that out. Everything DNVR underscore sports there on Twitter and Instagram. And it is my honor and pleasure to bring on the defensive coordinator at the University of Colorado and my coach for the whole 5 years I was up there. Chris Wilson joins us here on McChesney Unchained. Coach Wilson, welcome to the show, my man. It's good to see your face. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Matt, man. I definitely appreciate you getting the old guy on the phone, but everything's great up here in Boulder, man. Life's good. Everybody's working their tail off, and, very grateful for the opportunity.
So look, you were there last year for the COVID year, as weird as it was, and you guys achieved some goals and got to a bowl game, and it was, for all things considered, it was a pretty successful season. And then you, Carl elevates you to defensive coordinator, and now I know you've got your hands all over this defense and some real talent on it. Spring was kind of closed doors and you guys working and a lot of people wondering what is going to come out of that season last year, especially with you leading the defense. So just talk to Buffalo Country here a little bit about the expectations up there for your defense and some of the guys that shine this spring and things like that.
Well, here's what I tell you, Matt. You know, last year was definitely a great stepping stone. When you base it off of what we had to deal with, the players more so than the coaches, not being able to come out and work on a day-to-day basis, not able to build chemistry sometimes, because of guys being in and out. So, I applaud those young men there. It lets you know that the future is really, really bright because you got a bunch of guys who want to win, and now we're teaching them how to win. And so that part has really been good. The thing that's been great for us, a lot of tradition has came back with Carl. Obviously this is his third time here and it's my second time here. And both of us had opportunities to do a lot of things, but we chose Boulder. So that tells you a lot about the University of Colorado and our place. So the thing that's really stood out from the spring is guys are year two into the system in regards to us as coaches. Didn't have a ton of turnover on the defensive side. Obviously, there were some changes that Coach Durrell made, but the chemistry in regards to them knowing their guys day in and day out stayed the same. That being said, it's totally different because, now there's a new voice coming from the room. And when you look at the spring, guys that are really standing out are obviously, a guy like Nate Landham. And I say that, this is a guy who's recovering from the spring, but just to see his leadership has been amazing. And talking about a Buff for life. He's one of those guys. Those guys we can really be proud of. You look at Makai, who's played corner, played nickel, played all in the secondary for us. He's really made some strides, and he showed a lot of toughness this offseason. So the ability for us to be able to cover in this league and to be able to rush with guys like Nate and with Terrence Lang, who is really doing a great job in regards to being a great mentor. But there's a lot of young guys this spring that stepped up, guys like Naeem Rotman, Quinn Purry. The list could go on and on and on of the guys that you see flash. And not only flash, but we're consistent throughout the spring. So I'm pleased. The thing I think we're going to do, we're going to be in a system that's going to allow a bunch of our young guys that we recruited to come in and compete early. And I truly believe this, man. And I did the same thing with you. If you don't get those young guys involved early, it takes a while. So we're getting systems that are player friendly so we can create competition from the top of our roster to the bottom of our roster. There'll be no days off for any of us. So everybody's got to come in and work their ass off every week, every day.
Defense coordinator, University of Colorado, Coach Chris Wilson joining us here on episode 113, McChesney Unchained. Coach, I was on the phone yesterday with Coach Durrell. He actually offered Josh Bates, you know, Justin's son, but that was pretty cool moment yesterday, seeing Josh get his first offer. And Coach Durrell said on the phone, he's like, look, you know, CU hasn't had a lot to really hang their hat on. We've got to change that. And he said it to me now three or four times, both in person and on the phone. And I know he's a man of conviction and says what he means as a coach. So judging by that comment and what you just said with the competition from top to bottom and knowing as a former player of yours, what's expected from your guys, that you don't chase the ball, you don't play. You don't play hard, you don't play. You don't know what you're doing, you don't play. That mindset and accountability, I feel like, is back in Boulder for the first time in a long time. Do you see that trickling down to your leaders like Lamon and Lang and Carson Wells and Wright, guys like that on your defense? So, because that's really the veteran unit. The offense is pretty young.
Oh, it is. And again, it's not only the expectation, it's the standard. So, you know, no one's expectation or standards are bigger than ours. And so, you know, I tell guys, you know, you don't outplay people. You don't outcoach people on game day. That's not real. You don't do that. You do that during the week. You do that when guys are laying in the bed at 5, you know, at 6, 7 a.m. And we've been up since 5:30 grinding and trying to put ourselves in the best position to have a competitive edge. And that's not to say we're better than anybody, but we're gonna work until we get it done. And the players have bought into it. They bought into the standard, and they bought into the standard that is not going to be lowered for anybody, myself included. I mean, there's the right way to do it, period. And that's what we're going to focus on day in and day out.
Coach, you guys open up next year with UNC on Friday night. I personally think with everything that's happened in college football and no fans, it's going to be one of the biggest openers in CU history. I mean, as many people as they can pack into Folsom, I know they will.
Yeah,
people are really excited for that. But that September 11th game in Sports Authority or Empower, whatever they call it now,
yeah,
against an old Big 12 foe that you know very well and I know very well, Texas A&M comes to town. And you and I both talked about that being a barometer game, both from a speed perspective, but also from a – if you're a player – am I an NFL draft pick type player, and this is where we find out. So just talk about your time in the SEC at Mississippi State and everything you learned about the speed and just the difference in culture and what A&M is bringing to Denver on September 11th, because it's not a Big 12 matchup anymore.
Absolutely. Well, what you learn is this, and there's pluses and minuses. And Matt, I'm going to be as transparent as I can. They're all X's to me, yep. You know, and we're all men and we all prepare. So they get it. Everybody gets the same preparation. It doesn't matter if we're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody's going to get the same preparation day in and day out. And I don't fall in love with logos. I fall in love with my players, the preparation, the process, the proper process, not just the process. So, you know, that's really at the end of the day, that's all I focus on. And again, that doesn't mean we don't respect our opponents, because we do. And that's why I don't want to jump ahead talking about, you know, the Aggs. And again, it's a great barometer of it, but you know, you can't go undefeated unless you win the first one. So you know, our goal is every week to improve and to find a way to win that Saturday, because it's not the best talent that wins. It's the best team that wins on Saturdays. And it's not like college basketball where we got to win the best 4 out of 7. We just got to be great that Saturday. And that's really the mindset. And I don't create monsters. I mean, in regards to our opponents, I just focus on the guys that we got to get ready every day. And I believe if we do it right, we can go out and we compete against anybody in college football. And that's going to be our mindset.
And I can't lie. I set you up for that when I knew how you were going to answer it. And look, the process of the team building is really what I wanted to focus on, because it's the same when we were in the meeting room and I was one of your players. We never really focused. I mean, we scouted our opponents. That's not what I'm saying. Absolutely. We scouted the hell out of people. But we focused on what we did and what we did well. We didn't really care that they knew what we were going to do. We were going to do it better than them. So with the veteran leadership you see, on especially on your defense, what are you looking for now over the summer as they transition into more the conditioning stuff and just getting ready to go play, you know, a daunting schedule next year and get ready for that first one, like you said? What are you looking for now as you see the progression of your team going to the fall?
Comprehension. I want them to come out of the fall where they can teach it. And you know, and I've used to say this with you guys, when you if you can't teach it, you don't know it.
Yep.
So that's really big that these guys come out of fall with a great foundation. So we had a great, spring, and we created our foundation across the board. And guys like Carson Wells just kept improving their standard. And that's what we want to do. We want to see constant improvement. So, and that's not only in on the field, it's in the weight room. So one of the things I think we've done is we brought in some really great minds, some really great teachers. You look at a guy like Shannon Turley. You look at a guy like Demetrius Martin. And we brought in guys with a lot of wealth, a guy like Brett Maxey, and the list can go on and on. Also a guy like Mark Smith, who we brought in from Arkansas, who I worked with at Oklahoma. So they know what the expectation. They've got a lot of credibility in winning. They know how to do it. And again, I'm big on the checking guys' background. I check receipts. And so you got a bunch of guys who develop players on and off the field. Your players are a reflection of you. They're a reflection of you. So amen. I love the mindset. I love the accountability, and I love the trust we're building. And, you know, we're just going to be a pack of Buffaloes. And you know what happens, you know, if you get this thing going in the right way, you know, you don't stand in front of a big herd of Buffaloes once you get it rolling.
Amen.
And that's the goal every week.
And I know that a group of men up there in Boulder can do special things if they all put their mind to it. And you got a special group up there this year.
We do. We feel like we do.
All right. So look, Coach, you won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, what, in 2018, right? 18 was Super Bowl?
Somewhere back then.
18. When the Eagles beat the Patriots, you were the defensive line coach for the Eagles, and you guys beat the hell out of that offensive line in that game.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah, well, then I'll say it again. Guys like Fletcher Cox and, you know, you coach Leonard Williams at USC, who just re-signed with the Giants. And just talk about what's really the difference. I know physically Fletcher's special, but mentally, what really separates your really great players that you've coached in your career from just guys?
Mindset. And the biggest thing when I say mindset, because everybody says this, here's the most critical factor in the mindset is having self-awareness of who you are and who you aren't. And that's what gets a lot of talented guys in trouble. They have blinders in regards to the things that they got to consistently grow and work on. And what you see from those great players, they are always trying to find a way to get better, a competitive edge. If it's getting in a sleep machine to get an extra hour of sleep for their body, if there's a new nutritional thing that has backing, they're finding it. Study and take, you know, they're relentless. I mean, they're just freaking relentless. So a lot of people like to say, well, it's just talent. And it's not talent alone. It's that mindset that I'm going to dominate you every snap I go out there and compete. And they know when that happens. That happens in the offseason. That happens when nobody's looking. And so that's the kind of culture that we're trying to create. And that's what sets those guys apart. For a guy like Leonard Williams to have 110 tackles his junior year before he goes, you can't teach that. But what you can do, 110. What you can do is create a culture and a system that let guys thrive. And again, I love personality, but I like guys who can back it up. And again, that, like we said, that's a day-to-day thing. And so that's what we're creating, the consistency, the accountability. And we measure everything every day. Every day you got to get on the scale. So that's what it is.
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the ones that are close to you obviously do. But your son Caleb is a tight end for the Eagles.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, living his dream in the NFL and doing it well, working his ass off. I've obviously known Caleb since he was a whip at CU back in the day. Giving just opinion as a coach,
okay,
as a former NFL coach and as a father, not just necessarily talking to Caleb, but What kind of advice would you give him as a father, as a player, and then as an NFL coach, as a player? Because obviously,
you're making motion, Minister. I'm sorry.
Well, the first thing I tell him is number one, is be true to yourself. You know, because this is a tough industry, and it's built for tough people. I mean, I'm talking about across the board. So I'm always big on him with his self-awareness, and I'm candid. You know me. I mean, oh, yeah. I'm very candid, and again, I don't sugarcoat the truth. But I do it in a manner that now that I've gotten a little bit more mature as a man, and I try to present it in manners that I used to not always do. But there's no kid gloves, and that he knows that he can come here and stay a couple of weeks if he doesn't make it, but he's got to go out and earn. So now he knows that every day he shows up, he's got to earn his way. And this is going into year three for him. I'm super proud of him as a dad, but as a coach, I'm super proud of him that because he takes on some of your mannerisms. He says, "Dad, when they're sleeping, I'm working." And you know, when you see it and it's actually putting the work, it's kind of fun to watch. And you're seeing this growth. This season is a big season for him, obviously, year three. You know how big year three is in a contract year. So he's got to really solidify himself. And our mantra this offseason has been nothing we did last year was good enough. 4-2 and going to a bowl game was great, but it's not good enough.
Not good enough.
It's not good enough. So what are we going to do different to get to improve? And that's the mindset.
And that's the mindset you're telling your son and who's playing for the Eagles. You're telling your players who are in your meeting room. It's the mindset you tell me when I call you and we talk shop, which right. We do regularly. The great Coach Wilson, defensive coordinator for the University of Colorado, joins us here on episode 113 of McChesney Unchained. Coach, lastly, I just wanted to take, you know, a little bit to thank you because as a coach down here with, you know, there's Mason Maddox and Blake Weiner and Mason Midge are all going up to cut their teeth and see if they can make it in college football under your tutelage this year. And
they're going
to
do great.
Dungeon family kids up in Boulder. And I, you know, you were saying that, you know, your guys take your mannerisms on and brother, that's the truth. I learned so much from you as a man, as a coach. And I try to apply that on a daily basis down here at 6-0 and really I'm hard on my guys, but they know that I love them. And I learned that from you. I learned that from you, coach. And the men up there in Boulder are very, very lucky to have you in that coordinator role and being the leader of that defense. I can only imagine how nasty this defense is going to be. They're going to be fast and physical, and oh my God, they're going to get in someone's ass on game day. I can't wait.
Well, you know, we're still going in the fourth quarter. We call this phase three, and so again, we got a lot of work, Matt, this off season to do. Guys are coming back. We got a plan for them leaving for spring, and they're getting back, and they understand that it starts in the weight room. It starts in the film room. Again, a lot of these are player run practices. We can't be there on a day-to-day basis. So what we've done is given them ideas of how this is going to look moving forward. So with that being said, I'm not going to put the cart before the horse, but the thing that we're going to do, and hopefully while we're here, is we're going to be physical. We're going to play fast and we're going to be smart. And so you're going to have to beat us. And, you know, and that's the thing in college football. You know, you just got to be great that Saturday. What we don't want to do is beat ourselves. And we don't ever want to turn out the tape and see that anybody's out working us. And those are things that we can control and that we have to control moving forward.
Defense coordinator for your Golden Colorado Buffaloes, Mr. Chris Wilson, joining us here on episode 113 of Chesney and Chain. Coach, thank you so much for coming on the show. I love
always,
you, man.
Brother.
Keep up
love you back.
Work. We'll talk soon. Go Buffs.
Talk soon. Go Buffs.
So great to have Coach Wilson on the show today. He's taught me so much as a man, as a coach, as a father. He's such a great role model to me and so many. I can't tell you how many guys I know that played both in Boulder, but all over the country that played for him at Mississippi State, that played for him at USC, that played for him in Philadelphia. You know, his assistant defensive line coach up there won a Super Bowl with him, played at Stanford. And everybody raves about the relationship they have with that man, myself included. It's why I try and be more than just a coach to my guys because of the lessons and the tutelage I got from that man. And I know he's going to have them boys just chomping at the bit to go out there and play this year. I love how humble he is, but I know deep down he's eager to go kick someone's ass. That's just the mentality and the mindset that old Chris Wilson brings to the table. Today's show was awesome. We want to tell you about our neighbors at Maven Hemp. They do a great job supplementing the recovery over here at 6-0. And helping me a ton, both on anxiety and sleep. And I use it all the time after my workouts, from the CBD pills to the tincture to the muscle rub. My man Zev over here has got his shit together at Maven Hemp. They're our neighbor, and they are the shit. Go check them out at mavenhemp.com and use the promo code 60, and they'll give you 10% off your order. But they are doing a great job helping the athletes here at 6-0 recover, so check them out. Episode 113 is a wrap. I will say this, lastly, okay? This is a PS for the day. The fact that Colin Kaepernick can't get a job in the NFL, but Tim Tebow can, is an absolute travesty. It is a travesty. It is a travesty. And if you're actually agreeing with Tebow and you're one of these dipshits that's out here making it the number one selling jersey in football, you're the problem. You're a fanboy. And I can't do it, man. This poster board infatuation with Tim Tebow is unbelievable to me. I cannot believe that people are this naive and stupid to think that having that man on the roster is good in any way, shape, or form. If you're a Jacksonville fan, the development of Trevor Lawrence is going to be hindered by the distraction of Tim Tebow. If you're an Urban Meyer fan and you actually think that's a good hire, everything you say to me right now, if you are agreeing with this and you think it's a good thing and you're defending Urban Meyer, I don't think you know what you're talking about when it comes to football. This is a travesty, and it's going to end badly in some way, shape, or form. It's either going to be every single person in Jacksonville trying to get a refund for their 85 jerseys that they just bought for $110 at NFL.com because he gets cut, or Tim Tebow is going to get fucking crippled, because I don't care if he went out and lifted weights and shit. He hasn't played in 8 years. So here's the PS. PS, Tim Tebow, you're fucking NFL career is over, dog. Hang it up. It's okay. Episode 113 is a wrap, just like Tim Tebow's fucking future if he doesn't take it easy across the middle. Target, could anyone say it's on your chest? Maybe. Goodbye, folks.